Test, test, 1, 2. Test, test, 1, 2.
Penis, penis, penis. Penis, penis, penis.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of At Your Head Step. My name is Morgan, and I'm joined with Jordan.
Hey, what's up?
And Mike.
Hi.
I'm here this time.
I know. Mike actually decided to stick around this time.
Hey,
We do appreciate him being here for the podcast, as always. And we're definitely here to talk about a few things. Obviously, the Pro Tour just wrapped up today, and we want to talk profusely about that, as well as discuss a few things about like the Star City Open that happened and some of the decks that we saw there, as well as our typical question of the week, and then kind of do some shout-outs, some social media stuff there at the end. But first, we did want to throw in a quick apology here. We did record an episode with GP Detroit winner Josh McClain. Unfortunately, the recording of that episode got lost, and it just did not turn out the way that we liked. We had some drops, and it was unfortunate. So we couldn't cobble together an episode for that one, and we do apologize for that. And we hope to have him back on again, but... We do just want to say thank him, for him being on our podcast and for him giving up his time to do that. Now that that's out of the way, let's go ahead and kind of dive in here. First, we did want to talk to Mike and talk to him about his SCG Cleveland experience since weren't able to get it last week. So, Mike, if you want to just kind of take over and talk a little bit about how you felt about what deck you played, how you felt about it, and everything like that.
Sure. I do want to point out nice use of cobble, as if we're making shoes as we...
Listen, in all honesty, I think that is going to be our new catchphrase for the show, because we've used that quite a few times, so we're
there
cobblers.
There are, in fact, tiny elves building the show for you right now.
Correct.
They're
really mean sometimes. They pick on me. Call me fat boy and run wild.
Wow. Okay. And bad elves. Anyways, so yes, in Cleveland, I played the Big Boros list I've talked about a couple times on here. Mm-hmm. I've been tuning. Played it to a pretty mediocre 4-3 record. I tuned it so I could beat Control. Played Esper Control twice and Blue-White Control once. Beat them both without pretty much any issue. So mission accomplished there. Unfortunately, I lost to a pretty... It was kind of eerie, the mirror match that I lost to.
Yeah.
Including a game where I literally, over the course of 4 turns, had War Leader's Helix cast against me 4 times.
Yeah.
How win?
I was like, oh, all right, well, that's a lot. Okay, cool. So a lot of flooding. I played a pretty frustrating match against Jeff Rasmussen, who was playing the exact deck list that Jerry T was playing. Mm. I guess they had been working on it together. Because I was like, oh, because the list popped up online in Jerry Thompson's article on Star City this week. And I was like, oh, well, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. But I featured a game where I had enough land. I was musing as I was dying that I had enough land. So, like, man, if I drew a Stormbreath Dragon, I could cast it and Monstrous it in the same turn.
Oh, man.
And I had also scryed away 4 lands. So, a little frustrating.
Certainly.
You're right there, Jordan?
Yeah, no, try not to sneeze. And when we do this in person, I can't just mute the microphone. It's sneeze around a bodily function. So it's like, yeah, anyway.
But anyways, we were so in contention, we decided to go get food. We did.
The way you said that's really funny, though.
We went to, if you guys ever go to in the Northeast Ohio region to an event and you see a Swenson's, it's a drive-in place, do yourself a favor. Dear Lord. Incredible.
Yeah, right. Most certainly.
There was really the one though.
But anyways, I will say this. I've written 2 articles about this deck now on Legit MTG. So if you want to see the tuned list of what I've been doing with it, you can take a look there. And if you don't care, don't.
Yeah, very much. But yeah, no, they're very great articles. Mike's a great writer. And,
oh, wow.
We just want to make sure that that if you do want more of the At Your End Step crew, it's out there. Just go to legitmtg.com.
I'm on Legit. Jordan's on Pornhub. It's all good.
Exactly, right. So if you really want a whole lot more,
how dare you insult my acting career?
That was a really good fat joke.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I didn't mean it like that.
Morgan owns the elves. That's the... It's your goddamn cat's the reason I'm sniffling.
So, again, yeah, check out LegendMTG for Mike's articles. We'll kind of go ahead and move into Star City. That was the smaller of the tournaments that we actually have going on right now. And we'll talk about the top eight. Obviously, it's your typical top eight list that you expect to see. So we do have some new ones that are kind of on here that haven't been on here before. Specifically, Adrian Sullivan actually is on here with a red-white list, which is a red-white aggro list that is splashing white, mainly for Boros Charm. That's pretty much it. Most of the main deck looks like your typical mono-red list. It does go a little bit bigger. It does have four Stormbreath Dragons, so it runs around 25 land. Which is not typical for the aggro-y lists that we have been seeing. We also see that he does have a one of Tajik, Blade of the Legion, or Tajik, however you pronounce that, which is pretty interesting to say the least.
That's in the sideboard.
Yeah, that is in the sideboard. Yeah, it's a one of in the sideboard. So I don't know necessarily what he did ever bring it in for, but it is there. But we do actually, the interesting thing is we do have two of these lists in the top eight. So I think that's, it could be a new deck that's kind of cropping up. I know that our own Dave Nolan kind of had a list very similar to this that he was brewing with before the set got released, but he kind of pushed it aside for Esper. So maybe it was just a good idea that it just hasn't been to the forefront until now. And the actual Pro Tour was won by a green-red mid-range...
Pro Tour?
The Open was won by Zach Stern playing your green-red monsters list, the typical, big, stupid green creatures.
Wow.
I mean, that's what they're... That's what they are.
Fat, stupid, turn your volume down on your phone.
I would like to apologize to all the fat green monsters out there.
It's all right. I'm already used to offending large groups of people. Who cares?
At least you didn't say large people.
Large people in groups. Yeah.
So we see that this list has your four Stormbreath Dragons, has two Rukthar in the main deck, running three Xenoghosts, four Dominant Raid. So, your typical expected green-red monsters list, which is, pretty part of the course.
It's Brad Nelson's list.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. And we did actually see some of these lists that, similar lists, not the exact list, but similar lists that show up even at the Pro Tour. So when we talk about the Pro Tour, we'll definitely touch on that as well. Now, guys, with the information that we have from these lists, so we also have let me take a look here. We have a blue, white, black, Esper list that shows up. I mean, that's pretty much it. This top eight. We also have black, white, red that shows up as well. These are typical lists that you should have been seeing if you are staying competitive with the things going on with the Brewers and everything like that. Did you guys see anything that you really feel is worth noting, talking about, other than the new list and the red white list showing up?
I mean, the Opens sort of get they get more inbred quickly. Right. Before, the Esper list that made the top eight has no creatures in the main deck, no Aetherling, because Aetherling is a control mirror card. So he wasn't expecting control mirrors this week because Esper's been down. Thus, no Aetherling. But if your control goes back up, then the control list with the Aetherling is going to do better. Beyond the little things like that, I will say going back to the Adrian Sullivan's list, these mana bases for some of these red decks are just terrifying me. Like, I'm going to play four Boros Reckoner and four Mutavault. I hope I can cast it. and in that deck, there's enough threats otherwise, but man, it's going to be so awkward when you're just like, oh. I wish I could cast this for a long time.
I guess I got three of these in my hand. I can't cast them.
You saw that on stream a couple of times where the guy would have two mountains and a mutavolt, and you're up a mutavolt, and you would just see him go, well, okay. And it's just awkward.
Now, for those decks, I mean, like the list I've been running, I'm not running any mutavolts because Boros Reckoner is an aggro stopper for me. Like, I'm a mid-range deck. I want to play Boros Reckoner to block in those early games. So I'm more worried about playing it on time, whereas maybe the aggressive decks aren't as worried about slamming it on time. But just does seems like there's going to be a lot of games where, like, if you end up with two Reckoners in your hand, you're just going to, you can't afford to lose that much time in this format because it's a lot easier. I think it's a lot easier for the control decks and the mid-range decks to stabilize against the red decks. I think you have so many things like the green red monsters list that wins. I mean, just playing an Ember Swallower in turn three shuts down those red decks, because even if they have a Mizzium Mortars, it doesn't just take care of it by itself anymore. No. Anymore, you've got to throw a creature at it and Mizzium Mortars it. Everything's costing you cards. It just, I don't know. I feel like you stumble on mana because of Mutavolt. As powerful as Mutavolt is,
yeah.
It just it's a conscious decision you're making that you've got to run quote unquote hot.
Right. I mean, I'm sure. I'm expecting that Adrian Solomon's definitely going to write an article about this list, and I will definitely be interested in reading it, because I think it's an interesting list. I think it's probably a better direction to go if you want to go aggro, just because Boros Charm is really nice. And not having to play something like a white weedy based list and going bigger with the red creatures, especially with having Stormbreath Dragon, because that guy is a house. I think this might be a good list to go. I mean, you can always just play mono red still, but it's definitely interesting to see that two of these lists making the top eight. So I think it's definitely something to talk about. But I mean, that's really it from the Star City list. I mean,
the number 16 list is pretty interesting.
Oh, well, let me take a look at that here. the 15 and 16 list happen to be both mono color devotion. One is a mono black list at 15th, and one is a mono blue list at 16th. So these two lists kind of lead us into our discussion about Pro Tour Theros. So Pro Tour Theros was a very interesting sort of Pro Tour. A lot of what we saw of it was pretty low power level comparatively to other Pro Tours. Like, Jordan and I were actually talking about it before the cast. The last kind of standard Pro Tour that we had was Gatecrash. And out of Gatecrash came things like the Aristocrats and Wolf Run bans and things like that, where we had those powerful cards that were still in standard. We got a whole new list that stayed until standard rotated out, you know, with the Aristocrats. With this, we have definitely some interesting lists. The first and second place were both mono blue devotion lists. Now, this is a new list that came out due to the Pro Tour. I think it was first seen on Friday, obviously, and got a lot of buzz because it's playing things like Thassa and Nykthos and Master of Waves. You know, these cards were, you know, $5 trade-in cards that you had beforehand, and now suddenly they're $15 to $20 cards, if not more. So anyone that went deep on Nykthos or Thassa or Master of Waves, congratulations, you just made a lot of money.
Well, it's pretty funny, because on Friday of the Pro Tour, Dave posts in our Facebook group, after he just kind of made his walk around the room, I would guess, maybe a couple rounds in,
mm-hmm.
made a post that says, hey, go buy these now, mono blue is a thing. And at first I thought I was just getting ready to call bullshit, right? And, like, I really didn't believe it, but then I checked prices, and I was like, oh, I already missed the boat.
Yeah.
These are $1 billion.
Yeah, all those cards that I started listing, like, Thassa had been relatively expensive. Like, I don't think it ever went below 10, like, Nylea or Heliod did. It was always, like, a $12 to $15 card, and now it just is, like, 20, if not more.
25.
25, if not, yeah, 25 at this point in time. And then things like Nykthos was... I honestly think Nykthos should have been going for more, period. But it was like a $5 to $6 card.
I think it's a smaller card. It's like Tidebinder Mage is now a $4 card.
Oh, man. Yeah. I have like infinite of those.
And Nightveil Spectre is a $6 card.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I remember throwing those away at one point. Like, I think I got I opened four boosters or something, like all four were Nightveil Spectres, and I was pissed because like that card wasn't played, and just threw them away.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you're dumb.
I'm barely
But so. This is kind of the breakout deck of the Pro Tour. I mean, this is kind of what I was wanting to see, something that hadn't been seen before. I can't say that I necessarily like this list, because I don't play blue, but...
Do you want to hear something terrifying?
What?
Judge's Familiar has now won two Pro Tours.
In a row. Go Judge's Familiar. I played that card in white-red aggro. I know that card's good. It's a Pro Tour winner right there. It's a little owl that could.
Challenge.
Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, so what do we think about this list, guys? I mean,
I feel like, so, and this is something we'll talk about more, it's kind of going to lead us to our question of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's so hard to judge a deck like this, because based on the Pro Tour, like what they were expecting, I can't see this being very good in a huge metagame. Like, you're playing a lot of really, really terrible creatures. Like,
that's
you're
true.
Playing Cloudfin Raptors in the main, you're playing, like, Judge's Familiars. Like, you don't have a lot of powerful draws. Yeah, you're drawing a lot of cards, but possibly you're drawing a lot of cards.
Yeah, you have the Biden to pass out. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Obviously, you know, the if you watch the finals, there was, you know, the last game of the finals, there was literally a curve of, like, Cloudfin Raptor, Frostburn Weird, Nightvale Spectre into Master of Waves, which was a Master of Waves then for 7, mm-hmm. and, like, that's a lot of power on the table. But you're also dealing with a mirror match of a deck that actually can't, like, minus a random rapid hybridization, actually can't kill a creature.
Right.
So inherently in these ridiculous mirror matches, Master of Waves becomes very powerful. But if you saw some of the matches like Paul Reitzel or Patrick Chapin, who are playing the black-white list, like, when you have a Doomblade, you just kind of laugh at Master of Waves. Because you let them, like, try to, like, build up their board state, and then, like, go all in with these tokens, and you're just like, yeah, you get out of here.
Right. Doomblade, you know, doesn't have protection from black.
Esper gets insane with this list. I mean, I'm surprised Esper didn't do as well as it did.
Well, you have to play the back and forth here. And I think they assumed there wouldn't be near, because of the rise of, you know, the junk list, you know, Dan Lester's junk list,
right.
The black-white lists. I think a lot of people really thought Esper wasn't going to be around. Not to mention you saw Mono Red and Burning Earth hanging around.
Yeah.
So you want to be, you know, this deck is good against Mono Red. You know, there's no, you're playing Tidebinder Mage of the Main, which, you know, is locking down red creatures, and you're playing Master of Waves, which Master of Waves, even a nominal Master of Waves against a purely Mono Red deck, is lockdown mode.
Mm-hmm.
But as we already saw in the open, I mean, once you have red white, then you have things like Chain of the Rocks. Myself, I was talking about Last Breath today. Like,
mm-hmm.
like you'll have answers to this. And so I just don't know how taking that out of this context. I mean, you know, you bring up Esper. How does this deck be a Supreme Verdict?
Right.
Like, I literally don't know how it does it.
Azorius Charm, Heroes Downfall. Right. Like, there are very real cards that beat this. Sam Black had something to say about that. Just during the course of his deck text, he said that his worst matchup was 50-50. I have to imagine his worst matchup is Esper. And he claims that it was 50-50. Now, I don't know what their testing showed, but Merciless Eviction hoses this deck. I mean, like, you just...
The sideboard's pretty good for control. Most of them are playing some number of Aetherlings, some number of Jaces. Yeah, and they're also playing Gainsay, which is, you know, in the mirror match, but also against the control decks, is just a nut. But I really feel like there's a lot of the mid-rangey decks in this deck. I don't know. There's some scary aggressive starts, and Nightvale Spectre does work, but when you can't beat, you know, a Doomblade or a Lightning Strike off of your Nightmare Spectre. I don't know. I feel like...
I can't deny that the list, obviously, I mean, it's good. It was good for the Pro Tour. I agree with Mike that I don't know how much of an impact it's going to make going forward. I do feel that at some point in time, I just think this feels fragile. I think... You know, I think they had a really good time turning on Thassa, and I think Thassa wins a lot of games for these decks because it makes things unblockable, and that's really hard to deal with. If you just have a board, you play a Thassa, and it's active, you just make a bunch of your giant guys unblockable, and they're like, well, I guess I just die. But I do think that Thassa is kind of the house of this deck because, like, it fixed with the scrying, and you're able to, you know, have a better chance of getting what you want.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
And you're a lot easier to turn on, you know, Thassa with all your blue devotion guys per se. But I don't want this to be like something that's super prominent. Like I just feel that there's going to be decks that are built to, like, even Muster's junk list. I think Muster's junk list has a really good way to actually get around this list because you have, you know, targeted removal, and you can even do things in the sideboard like, you know, play Fade to Antiquity if you really need to. Like, you have that option, you know, right. If you want to. What were you going to say, Jordan?
No, I just keep thinking of cards that hose this list. I'm kind of amazing that it did this well. I mean, like, Tiny Needle hoses this list.
Named
Thassa. Like,
but, I mean, still, though, I mean, I think a lot of people were building decks, like, if you look at the mid-range decks that aren't black, okay, LSV's list, which I was talking about, that sort of thing, not playing even any main deck removal, but playing, you know, there is any mortars in the sideboard, that sort of thing.
Right.
Those decks can't beat Nightvale Spectre.
Right.
Like, that's actually the card that's actually just insane for them, because that is, especially if you hit a land, and what was really insane, they were talking about this all over the weekend, is so many of the decks were playing Nykthos, that Nightvale Spectre was hitting Nykthos.
Oh, gosh.
They were talking about, like, at one point, like, against the black decks playing the Grey Merchant,
mm-hmm.
that you could hit a Nykthos, and then you can Nykthos for 3 black off of your... Or you can hit a Grey Merchant, and then you can Nykthos off of your...
Oh, God!
Yeah.
Combo!
And you still hit them for 5.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, that's what's really powerful, but like I said, I feel like... And that card, you know, dodges Doomblade, obviously.
Right.
But I don't know. It still can't... there's a lot of, I think the removal has to be right to beat this deck. Sure. And if I think in a bigger open setting, it's going to be harder for this deck to do well. Mm-hmm. But in this one, you know, Sam Black's a master deck builder. And the guy's results, I mean, are just insane.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good at metagaming for what he thinks is going to be present. And they did a good job of that. But I think, right. I don't know, I think bigger meta, this deck, you know, and like any deck, this deck is beatable. And I just feel like it'll probably pop up from now and then, different versions of it will. But it's probably, I don't see this being a deck we're going to see doing well in opens.
Yeah, it's not something that I definitely want to, it's not something I definitely want to see going forward. I don't like this list. Again, it could just be personal preference. I won't disagree with this list. It was good for the Pro Tour. I just hope it doesn't continue. I just hope it stops. Don't play this list. And I mean, even people were playing this list, and, you know, I don't know how much of the format, you know, how much of the meta this list was, but it was almost a known quantity when the open was going on. Obviously, it did show up at 16th place, but, you know, who knows what this is going to look like going forward for the typical grinder, the person that's going to be going to tournaments and stuff like that. Now, again, we did talk about the green-red list that did win at the Open. We also do have another green-red list piloted by Makihito Bihara. And he was...
Who crushed Dave, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Dave had to play him early on.
Oh, man, that must
In limited or standard?
I want to say it was standard. I think it was, like, it might have been the first round of standard.
Oh, man, that is brutal. I would not want to face this deck at the first round of standard, because his Gruul list is pretty...
grueling?
Yeah, it's... Oh, there you go. You did it. You did it. Congratulations.
Listeners, if you laughed at that joke, you're everything that's wrong with society.
don't listen to George.
Shit, I laughed at it.
Please continue to listen. But this list was... I think this list is actually one of the better ones to come out. I think it's very, very powerful. And, like, there were pictures of the board states that he'd have by turn four, where just, like, it was just shit. Just shit everywhere. And, like, that's all it was. It was, like... You know, three planeswalkers for no good reason, and all this mana and everything like that, and like three lands. You're like, how the fuck did you do that, you crazy Japanese bastard?
Well, so he's on playing Voyaging Satyr,
yeah,
with Nykthos. So
you can
Satyr,
tap it, yeah,
tap target land, and like, you know, you see this in drafts, and you're like, oh man, this is, I mean, yeah, it's a mana ramp spell, whatever. And then you look at Nykthos, and you're like, oh. And one of the decks that, you know, the mono blue deck was on camera a lot.
Right.
And one of the, you know, the decks that had Polychronos in it were really giving it a hard time. Because an active, you know, if you monstrous, you know, with any sort of, you know, I'll say conviction, with any large amount of mana, Polychronos against an average board for the mono blue deck, it doesn't recover very well.
No.
So, you know, and having Nykthos in this list where you can just be like, okay, Polychronos, you know, put my Satyr. Devotion this, devotion untap. Monstrous Vermillion. Right? Exactly. Nice Master Wave,
and
bro.
Like that's huge for this list. I think the amount of mana that this list can generate, and seeing things in this list like four Gare Color Beasts, that card's actually dropped down in price. And it used to be like a $20 card, and now it's like 12 or 13. And I'm like, it might be pretty good to pick up if this is a 4 of list. I think this list is where you want to go if you're green red, in all honesty. I might just be wrong. But I really like this list and what it does. It just creates so much mana. You have things like Arbor Colossus in it. So you're like, oh, nice flyer. It's dead. You know. And
also has three green for devotion.
Right, exactly. And it is playing, you know, two Nylea, which is pretty relevant. Nylea is seeing play. You know, so that's pretty good.
Well, I mean, giving creatures like Polychronos, you know, trample.
Yeah,
you know, it's a big deal.
I mean, you kind of need that. I think this deck is pretty sweet. No, honestly, if I was going to pick up a green-red list to play, I'd probably play this. I really like it. It also has Xenagos. I mean, it has Domri Reigns, has Xenagos. Like, if you want to play Planeswalkers, this might be the list you want to look at, too. Has a lot of them.
His sideboard is so awesome. I love looking at, like, the Japanese lists, because they're always so random. He's got Wasteland Vipers in his sideboard.
Yeah, yeah. So you can attack with your Polychronos, and then you can Wasteland Viper it, and then Monstrous it, and then you have a Bonfire of the Damned. I think you just created one. It's a green Bonfire of the Damned in a can.
I will say another card that made waves is Waves. Yeah?
Yeah, look at you.
And he only had one in his sideboard, and I have to wonder how much better he would have done if he had more. But Mistcutter Hydro.
Yeah,
of course, House.
Certainly. If you're going to play a mono blue devotion deck, you can beat the pro blue guy with.
That can't be countered. Have fun with that, yeah. Yeah, so. I definitely agree with that. I think that card, when I first saw that card, I was just like, this card's a joke. It's not that good. Don't even worry about it. But I I think this card. I mean,
I'm all in on playing the Soul Clasher / Mistcutter Hydrobot deck here.
Yeah, clearly.
What? Nice blue cards, mother. Oh, you're unblockable.
I'm just going to play this Windstorm and wreck your day. Just green X.
Oh, Skylash has reach.
Yeah, oh yeah, the Skylash guy. Yeah, I mean, that guy's.
Come on, two spiders.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I don't know what kind of joke you're trying to make there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just kind of awkwardly smiled.
That's pro blue, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just trying to make all the pro blue.
Oh, you said Soul Clash Spider. You meant the.
I said Skylasher twice. And
I think you said.
Roll back.
There's no replays in this podcast. No replays. So, yeah. The Skylasher. And that's not actually a spider. It is.
Oh, whatever.
It is an insect.
Well, it looks like a big vagina monster.
Okay.
Fair enough. Big vagina monster. Thank you.
I had a question for you guys about Pro Tour, not related to a deck list.
Okay.
As we're sitting here looking at the deck list, anybody that can lose, look at this now, can see that Makihiro Mihara is 20th in the world.
Yes.
How relevant, or what do we think of, we didn't talk about this last week, about the top 25 rankings. I'm curious as to your guys' thoughts on that. It's pseudo Pro Tour discussion, because the only time it's ever going to matter is at the Pro Tour. But I'm kind of curious as to what you guys thought, because like Dan Musser, local... You know, Ohio player played the number 10 player in Stanislav Slivka, the number 14 in David Ochoa on day one of the Pro Tour. And I thought, well, there's no way this guy's vacant day two, but he battled and made it anyway. So good for him. But what do you guys think about that top 25 system? I was originally very underwhelmed, but after the Pro Tour, I was just overwhelmed by how relevant it seemed to be. And they're laughing at me, by the way, because my nose is running and Morgan's cat is like, the bane of my existence. So.
I'm trying to pay attention to the question. I promise. I'm just saying, snot just rolled down his nose. Yeah, just like, what?
I'm dedicated. But what do you guys think about the top 25 system? Do you think it's relevant? Do you think it's a good system? Or do you?
I honestly just think it's interesting to look at. I don't think it really says anything. I think that those lists, like the top 25 lists, will probably be changing pretty consistently a lot of the time.
They should theoretically every week, right?
Right.
Well, every time there's a GP or
a big
else,
tour. Right? But I mean, like, it's just another. It's like I feel like it's just such a pissing contest for pros. It's like, oh yeah, I'm number XYZ in the world. And I'm like, I don't really give a shit who you are. Let's play some Magic.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, pretty much every major competitive sport uses a ranking system like
sure.
this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think it's fine. You know, as a player who's playing one of them, you get to go like, hey, I played against this person. If you beat him, you get to be like, oh, I beat this person. And then if you really want to think you're better than, you know, like, you're the ninth best player in the world out,
right.
beat number 10, then, hey, whatever you got to do. It'll change a lot, which I think is good. It gives people something to shoot for. But at the end of the day, I mean, like, it's just like when you play a Hall of Famer and they're like, well, use a badge. You played a Hall of Famer.
Because
they actually do that. I mean, you actually get a button that says you played a Hall of Famer.
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do you really?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Hall of Famers have buttons to give out if you play against one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. You had this facetious look about you. I didn't know that.
I mean, I have a facetious look about me because at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know.
What does it say?
All right, we've already talked about my stance on Magic celebrityism in here.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And that's why I'm really glad, you know, Rad Nelson didn't talk to me this day. Go back and watch that episode if you haven't yet, guys. That's the best one, really.
Yeah. Go watch it. Go watch our podcast, our audio-only option. Yeah.
But, no, so, okay, I like what you said. It was interesting, though, to watch this and see. To me, I didn't like it because it shows the variance that's in Magic. Like, the top 12, the only ranked guy that made the top 8 was number 20.
Well, if you look at
Sam Black made.
Oh, Sam Black
if you look at the top 70, I mean, I will say this. Variance is definitely, Ritzel is not ranked.
Oh, is he not?
But if you look at, you know, the way that the game works anyways, like, you can say variance is a big deal, but the best players, you know, are put up the numbers despite, you know, variance. And if you look across the top 75, you know, where they pay cash to, I mean, they're up there.
Right. Yeah. Right. And fair enough. And I mean, like, we didn't talk about that last week after it spoiled. So I was kind of curious what you guys thought. It seems to me just as a good a system as the BCS in college football. So,
well, it's better than the BCS because there's no opinion based on it.
Well, that's true. It's very objective, right? That's true.
It'll change. It'll be something, you know, interesting to look for. But I mean, I highly doubt any of the pros are just like, you know, I highly doubt that Joshua DeLayton's like bow down, bitches.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like, I mean, it is what it is. I don't think that it's necessarily very very interesting. Like, I saw it came out and I was like, I don't even care. I just don't care that much to, like, I guess maybe if I were on that list, maybe I'd give a shit, but I'm not going to be on that list. Let's be fair.
Maybe she's like a bird can crown and a scepter. So like, when Sam Black becomes number one overall after this event, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Joshua DeLayton has to have a whole ceremony.
Yeah, right. Just yeah, like, exactly.
I dub Sam Black, and then like a week later after one GP, Sam Black has to do it too.
Right.
Exactly. That would be entertaining to me.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually like ceremonies and shit involved.
Go on about your ceremony.
Well, I think that's something that I always find more relevant is like Planeswalker points, like people that actually like go out and play in events that aren't necessarily pro events. Like, I think that's something interesting to follow, because those are points you get for playing.
Yeah, but
that's
like I got
pro points not... are for being good.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Points
right,
are for existing.
I guess.
Yeah, like you get what a Planeswalker point just for playing in a tournament, no matter how good or bad you do. Like, sure. I don't know if that's good. So if theoretically someone could just go register for a billion events.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if someone did that, I'd want to know about it. If someone's going around registering for a billion events, I think that'd be interesting. Well, they have a lot of time on their hands.
All right, new train of thought. That's just bad.
Fair enough. So let's go back to talk more about these deck lists. The next thing I want to talk about is Paul Rietzel's Orzhov Midranger, so black-white. Now, this is a list that he and Chapin both piloted. I think they have the exact same 75, if I'm not mistaken. There may have been like slight differences in sideboard and stuff like that, but I think the 60s were both exact. And I really like this list. I think I was looking at some of the lists with the top standard win percentage, and this was definitely up there in points. I think that's something definitely to look at when you're looking at the Pro Tour results, because you could have, you know, decks that are standard decks that didn't necessarily have the same win percentage, you know, with a player. A player just could have had stronger draft rather than, you know, stronger standard. But I really like this list. It's definitely something, if you want to go mid-range, I would definitely suggest taking a look at. It's pretty funny because Paul Rietzel is known as being a very white weenie-esque aggro player, and he actually got talked into playing this list sort of, and they were like, yeah, you know, you get to play Soldier of the Pantheon, you get to play Precinct Captain, and just don't look at the rest of the list. You can just play those cards just fine, but you get to play these guys. Like, this is good. Like, you get to play a good half of a white weenie list, and the rest of the cards don't worry about. You'll just play them anyway. But when people would talk about this list on the Pro Tour, they would be like, it's not necessarily as synergistic as the Mono Blue list, but it just has powerful cards. And like I said, it's something that I'm looking into possibly pursuing coming up when I start playing Standard. Again, once my cards get back from Ireland. And so what do you guys think about Rietzel's list, or Rietzel / Chapin's list?
I mean, I already mentioned, like, I like the list. I definitely, you know, like this version of mid-range. Obsidot, I think, is really, really powerful right now.
Yeah, I really think so, too.
I was talking to Morgan before we started, but I don't like Soldier of the Pantheon very much. Like, I know it blanks a lot of the format, but, like, in these mid-range lists, like, I don't know, you have some blank draws late in the game, you know what I mean? Like, Precinct Captain itself is not a very good draw late in the game, and Soldier of the Pantheon's a really terrible draw really late in the game. Mm-hmm. So I go back and forth on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw some of the games that Chapin played. The little kid in me got all excited when I got to see Kai Buda versus Chapin.
All right, right, exactly.
You know what I mean? And Chapin put it to him pretty well. One of the games literally was him riding a soldier the entire
time. That's true. He did kind of ride that to victory. But did you see the funniest thing was this, like, the last turn of the game. And Kai Buda has a Nightmare Spectre on the board. And, like, he just has... you know, basically no outs, roughly.
Right.
But one of the outs is Kai Buda has to draw a Nykthos off his, because he had Biden in
picture.
Yeah, yeah. He had to draw a Nykthos, and then Chapin had to, with the Nightmare Spectre, get a Farika's Cure. That's what it was. He had to get a Farika's Cure, cast it off the Nykthos, and so that way... he would kill the Soldier of the Pantheon and gain 2 life and live for another turn.
Yeah.
It didn't happen, but like...
Because he drew an Obsidian on the last turn.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, the commentators were trying to be like, well, how can he even do this? Can he draw anything for Chapin's deck? And then Chapin's just like, oh, you can do this. Like, just, like, not even flicking out. Like, Kai Buddha didn't even see it. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, and what the best part is, Kai Buddha's like, well, I did draw the Nykthos. So it was like, the tenuous flip over, and like, Kai Buddha slow rolled him and everything. I think, like, really, you're gonna do that? But sadly, it didn't come to be. I wasn't able to witness that wonderful Pro Tour, Farika's Cure, but whatever. You know, what are you going to do?
I mean, either way, like, with that, like, I still feel like that game was less about, like, Soldier being good and more about the fact that the mono blue deck can't kill a fucking creature.
Yeah, no, most certainly. And Kai Buddha kept a one-lander. Like, that was the biggest thing. Like, I was like, he kept his six, and I was like, there's only one land in there. What are you doing? But whatever. I'm not on the Pro Tour Hall of Fame.
Definitely not the Kai Buddha I remember from
my childhood. It seems like a very, very sketchy
Real life got in the way, slowed down.
I guess. I don't know. But, so we have, you know, the green-red list, two mono-blue lists. What else kind of rounded out the top eight that we see here? Oh, we have the mono-black devotion list. That's right.
Pack Rat.
Yeah, Pack Rat. Yeah, Pack Rat's a very good trick, guys. When it makes a copy of itself, it actually gets a little black mana symbol, so it adds to your devotion. Fun fact. In case you guys didn't know that.
Yeah, that's actually insane.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is that there?
The best part about this is, you know why Pack Rat was so good?
Why is Pack Rat so good?
Because a mono blue decks can't kill a creature!
We're going to keep harping on this.
Yeah, so, you can't see his recurring theme.
Kind of like Pack Rat.
It keeps coming back. So yes, Pack Rat has now top-aided a Pro Tour in Standard.
In Constructed and Limited.
Yeah, Pack Rat.
So if we just make the Pack Rat Judges familiar deck, we can't lose, right?
Apparently not. I have no idea. So it's going to be Esther, Pack Rat, Judges familiar, right? Just because we get, you know, more colors.
Oh, of course.
Right, yeah. You can't just go, like, blue or white. We've got to have both.
I think this deck, the Mono Black Devotion deck, I think out of, like, all the decks that play Obsidot with the whip have, like, the cute interaction with Obsidot. But, like, I think this deck is probably one of the better whip decks. So, like, whip of Erebos with Pack Rat is insane, because, like, you can bring Pack Rat back, but then make a Pack Rat token. So, essentially, like, I mean, it's 7 mana to do so. Or, no. Yeah, 7 mana to do so. But still, you know what I mean? Like, that recursion. And, like, Grey Merchant of Asphodel is, like, such a powerful, you know, drop in this deck. Like, he's playing 4 Underworld Connections. So, when you're talking about Devotion, these are the kind of permanents you tend to forget about. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, if you have 2 Underworld Connections to play, your Grey Merchant is hitting for 6.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, like, you can sacrifice a Grey Merchant to your own, like, Desecration Demon,
mm-hmm.
and then whip it back.
Well, wait, I don't think you can.
Can you not? Wait, am I wrong on that?
I think Desecration
Demon. I was looking at that yesterday.
Opponent.
Okay.
So
I
you can't do that. That would be awesome.
I was reading about this yesterday. I thought you could do that. I apologize. Why? All right. That was
too bad.
But, I mean, you still like, getting to whip that card back is insane. So, I don't know. I think this whole deck... now, you have another weird choice in this deck. Like, you're playing 4 Lifebane Zombies main.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure sounded great against the field, and then he played against the mono blue deck.
Right, exactly.
Let me guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's
you
a
got nothing. Offering.
I think Lifebane Zombie might be better on the Star City Games circuit.
Oh, for sure.
There were green white players in the field.
I think there's so many decks incidentally running Boros Reckoners that it's still.
Oh yeah, I think that's why. I mean, that's anyways. The upside with. That's definitely the upside with, you know, playing something like Lifebane Zombies. You do get the random. You do get the random. I guess they could have got the random Judges Familiar. Right?
Oh God!
But you do get the random Boros Reckoner and stuff like that.
Did you drop my one drop?
Oops. Should have played that. There are those random occurrences, but I mean, like, that's what makes Lifebane Zombies good, because there's a lot of, like, you know, hybrid creatures, multicolored creatures in the format that just kind of get got by it, and that's
fun. Gotta get got. You got gotten!
You just got got.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, I kind of like this list. What do you guys think about it? I think it's pretty interesting. You still have a Nykthos in there as well, so that's definitely, you got Erebos in there to kind of cut off, I guess that might be in there just for the sheer fact of Sphinx's Revelation.
I mean, it turns off Revelation, it's a big beater.
Yeah, it's a 5-7, yeah.
And honestly, like, it draws cards. If you have a whip in play, like, then the 2 life per card really doesn't feel that bad.
No, not at all. But it's fairly interesting to see. I don't think we've seen, like, again, we have a top 15 of a mono black list in the Star City Games circuit, so maybe this might be something that we see more over. I think like it probably is pretty decent against the mono blue list. It kills creatures, I guess. I think that all of these lists, though, are anything mono black is definitely missing a sweeper. So, like, that's the only thing you kind of run into with it. But what are you going to do?
Do you think we'll get a Damnation
next time? I mean, a lot of people have been saying, like, Damnation's super flavorful for this set, just for, you know, the sheer fact that it's, you know, Damnation and God.
I mean, it may be flavorful, but Wrath of God is notoriously a white effect. I don't know if it's... I haven't seen anything in Theros since breaking the color.
Morrow has said that Damnation is okay in black. Like, that effect is definitely fine in black. Like, he's comfortable.
It's very rare. I mean,
most certainly.
Because there's almost always a string attached to Black's Master Removal.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. But he said that Damnation's fine in his book.
I mean,
so...
I mean, geez, if we got Thoughtseize and Theros and then, you know, and... what's the next one?
Damnation and Born of the Gods.
Yeah, we got Damnation. Man, black's just like the happiest color ever.
It's right, like, it's like, woo! Do a little Charlie Brown dance.
All right, if Damnation comes back in the same set with Thoughtseize, then you have permission to say Mono Black is back.
Yeah, there you go.
Because you saw Pack Rat too, because Jesus.
Right. We can play Black Betty in the beginning of our podcast and have a good old time.
No, we can't.
Aww. Like the first 15 seconds of it, right? Like that's
no, fine. I don't want to play Black Betty.
Fine.
Did you know she had a child?
Yeah, I heard a few things. A few things about that woman.
Bam Blam.
Bam Blam.
Whoa, Black Betty.
Okay, I'm going to time out on this one, too. This is all bad.
We'll move on. So the last list that we have showing up is the Mono Red Devotion list. This one has, you know, 21 Mountains, 1 Mutavault, 4 Nykthos. So even Mono Red Devotion is like, we still need 1 Mutavault. But, I mean, this, you know, has everything from Purpuros to Stormbreath Dragon to Frostbird Weird and Ash Zealot. Kind of goes up the chain, has a Chandra Pyromaster, 1 main, 1 side. I mean, this is a pretty, whatever kind of red list has some, has Hammer of the Purpuros in there. But yeah, it's a pretty interesting kind of list. What do you guys think about this? Anything, you know, earth-shattering here?
So this is a very similar to a list that a bunch of Channel Fireball was on. I know PV and LSV were both on mm-hmm. a green-red list, but it was red-based mm-hmm. for Nykthos, but they were playing Dominant Raids and Xenagos.
Oh, yeah, they splashed green, right?
Yeah, and LSV said he was really happy with his deck. And it had to be a good mid-range deck to get PV to play it. I mean, this
yeah,
is
true. He's pretty picky about most everything involving Magic. So.
There was a viable Esper deck, and he didn't play
true.
It.
That's
so,
true.
But I will say that those decks were not anywhere near... I feel like Channel Fireball really dropped the ball. You know, and not the drop the fireball.
Uh-huh.
But like they were not prepared to beat the blue decks at all. Like those decks literally could not kill a Master of Waves.
Yeah.
But I like the decks a lot. And I was talking before, like, I've been trying for a while to find a shell for Clan Defiance.
To play
with Boros Reckoner. Because you target Boros Reckoner and your opponent, and you're just like, you're like, yeah, that's right, take a million. So if you have Devotion and you get to play this...
Yeah. That's pretty good.
So I'm going to be playing around with that list, you know, for a little while, just to try. Sorry, I had to take a little pause there. Morgan's girlfriend was showing me some anytizers, and I started taking my pants off.
Yeah, sorry if you guys hear some background noise. My girlfriend's putting away groceries, so sorry about that.
She's a good snack maker. Great brownies.
but anyways, I feel like, Nykthos obviously, I think even if these exact lists don't do great things, I think they've definitely shown, I think Standard needed this. Standard
right.
needed, you know, players, even Open Series players needed to be shown that there are other decks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, the deck building, it takes a long time to stop building decks the way they did in an old format, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there was a list on Channel Fireball. A couple weeks ago, there was something about Bant Flash with Advent of the Worm and the Horizon Chimera.
Chimera, yeah.
And I'm like, no, stop trying to build a Flash deck. Like, Horizon
right.
Chimera is terrible. Like, stop trying to build a Flash deck.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and maybe in some universe that could work, but in a format full of, like, possibly Abrupt Decays and Chain of the Rocks and, you know, even, you know, the mono blue decks are playing Voyage's End, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't feel comfortable playing a Flash deck where my token is my win condition.
Right.
And I feel like the deck building sensibility has to change, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that it always takes a Pro Tour to kind of get that around.
I think a lot of time
in Standard.
I think the Pro Tours have been sort of disappointing in that respect in recent memory anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last Standard Pro Tour didn't really, you know,
yeah, Gatecrash didn't break ground. When we looked at it, it was a lot of lists that
like
kind of existed.
The Aristocrats, you know, were... You know, the Aristocrats was a big breakout deck. But beyond that, like, You had some accepted archetypes. I mean, I guess, I don't know, I guess I'm not giving enough credit to the Aristocrats list because that was a big deal. But I feel like this is, the deck building will change a little bit because of this.
Like, oh, I hope that it does. I mean, like I said, I wanted to see something that was changeful, impactful, and this definitely was. We saw a lot of monocolor decks, which is something that we hadn't seen in our previous stints in Standard, and I think that's going to be a lot of a huge impact to people when they are designing their decks for the next Star City Open and things like that. So that kind of leads us into our question, though, is like how much of an impact will these lists actually have? When we take a look at Gatecrash, Pro Tour Gatecrash, we have the Aristocrats, which is a deck until Standard rotated. Do we see any kind of the list that we think is going to happen with the decks that we see? Do we see an Aristocrats?
I think maybe the mono black deck probably has people like playing mono black, and they have since all the way back to Torment when you could play Cabal Coffers with Corrupt.
Right,
Cabal Coffers, Nykthos.
That
obviously not at all the same card, but similar in thought process.
Yeah,
I feel like people are going to keep playing around with this deck. I don't know how again Pack Rat I think is the same kind of card as Master of Waves. Whereas I don't know how good it is in a bigger open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there weren't a lot of Magma Jets running around in this format.
No.
But, like, that card eats a Magma Jet pretty hard.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, I think it still kind of is a thing. Like, you have to kill Pack Rat on turn two. Like, you have to kill it. You can't let it sit on the board, no matter if you're playing limited or not.
Right, I mean, yeah, for sure. I feel like Jordan's flipping off the cat. I feel like that list has a chance. Obviously, the mono red list will be around, whether they're devotion lists or not.
Or not, yeah.
You know what I mean? Garmo Waffle Tapa or Tapo has Esper Control. Esper Control is not going to die in this format.
No, not at all.
So like, you see decks that are going to stick around. The mono blue devotion deck is, I think, the one that's probably just the shakiest. I think you will see more Thassa decks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think Thassa's kind of risen up and being like, hey, this is a card. I think that Mono Blue will be really, really popular for like the next 2 to 3 weeks. I really feel like that's how it's going to be.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what Pro Tour is doing.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then after that, I can see it falling off. I don't know if you can make Thassa... I don't know if you can make Thassa good and not a Mono Blue deck, because I feel like... I feel like having her become a 5/5 is hugely impactful for you winning the game a lot of the time. Because if she doesn't, you're just playing like dorky creatures, and like that might get you there.
The unblockable though is a big deal.
That's the only thing. Like
Scry 1's a pretty big game too.
I mean, Scry 1's fine, but you're still in a format where you could just play Underworld Connections. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Like Scry 1, draw 1. You know what I mean? I heard some rumors on Twitter of people already brewing, like, blue-red was the deck that Thassa had seen the most, and people were, like, brewing blue-red with Purphoros, so you can play your Master of Waves onto a Purphoros.
Oh, my
Master
God.
Master of Waves, shoot you for,
boom! A million.
So I think this mono-blue deck, these decks are just playing too many weak cards overall.
Yeah.
To go out into an open and win, but I think the ideas in the mono blue deck will definitely stay forward.
Yeah, most certainly. And Jordan, what do you kind of think about the Pro Tour lists from what you've seen?
My opinion is not really that much different than ours. Like, I don't know if I like the mono blue list. I might try to play it since I have all those cards, but like, just so I can do the flavor of the month thing for once in my life.
Sure.
Outside of that, like, it's the Pro Tour. It's a specific meta that's built for a specific time. And yeah, some of these lists are going to stay, like Esper and then Mono Red and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, I don't know how much I really care.
Yeah,
I'm more worried about winning an open, obviously, because it's where I am.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now.
So
yeah, and
where I'm going to be at for a while.
Yeah.
don't make yourself feel good there, Chip.
Right now. Never give a time limit on that.
Don't crack that top 25 list, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You're in my personal top 25.
If I had a personal...
Wait, you only know 20 people.
I didn't say Magic players.
I really like the Orzhov list. I really like the black-white list. Even our own Columbus's own Andrew Morrow came into a top 8 with a black-white list. So I can definitely see this as being something... going forward.
Top eight of the Cleveland Open.
Cleveland Open, yes. Not the Pro Tour. He was also at the Pro Tour. Didn't do so well there.
Calm down, Andrew.
He did top eight Cleveland, though, with a black white list.
He may see or may not have got an STD this weekend.
Who knows? I don't know. Oh, boy. He's wild.
Well, I'm going to call a timeout on that one there.
We'll not talk about that. So
she was Norwegian.
Well, he was Norwegian. We're not 100%.
There were no picks to confirm or deny.
Mara once met a girl, or should I say, she once met him.
So, but I definitely see the black-white mid-range list being a list that goes forward. I think that a lot of people will kind of tweak this list, maybe add another color. Like I said, we do have Dan Musser's junk list. That is a thing. There was a junk list in ninth place at the Star City Open, and then there were junk lists in the top deck list. So I definitely see it as being something that could be black, white, and junk would be the main contenders in the format right now. Mid-range list.
Jerry Thompson was pushing the black, red.
Black,
white, red has been a big deal, and you can play like Anger the Gods with your odds of that. So I mean, like, you know, you get your sweeper that you're missing perhaps before. So I think definitely this base and going forward. I mean, you still have to respect Burning Earth. I mean, the red deck in top eight had Burning Earth. You know what I mean? Like, it's still a real thing. Man, how bad did you feel if you're like, man, can't wait to play my Burning Earth? Mono blue.
Oh, no. I mean, that's kind of an interesting thing to think about. Like, how much does it depreciate the value of Burning Earth?
Well, I think Burning Earth, obviously at the end of the last format was like, you could comfortably board X, or comfortably main deck X amount of them, and know that, probably in an open, unless you're playing a bunch of mirror matches, like, it's gonna be a live card.
Yeah,
now it's definitely a sideboard card.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, we don't even see, like, we have 1-3 color list in here, so, like, in the top eight, like, I mean, it's definitely something where it used to be, like, 4 of sideboard, like, 100%. Like, you would be stupid last format not to have that if you were playing, like, a 2-color list or mono-red list. But I don't, I mean, it might even be, like, 2-3 in your sideboard now these days.
So another, sort of mantra of the Pro Tour is that pretty much every pro, especially in a newer format, they always over-prepare for red.
Yeah.
So you end up having the blue decks playing Tidebinder Mage in the main and Master of Waves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in a mono blue shell. You have tons of removal and very few of the decks choosing to add a third color. You have to play around Burning Earth. So, the pros are acutely aware of what they're not always great at. Like, I look at Channel Fireball, who was not very good this time at calling what the main deck was going to be. But they also weren't going to lose to aggro.
Certainly.
And in fact, they were more of the aggro deck this time. Mm-hmm. But they made sure that they had some mid-range components. They were playing dragons, because they just don't want to lose that way.
Yeah.
So the pros are very good at knowing what even if they don't know what they're going to play against, they know what they don't want to lose to.
Yeah, no, most certainly. So, I mean, obviously these Pro Tour lists are going to have some impact, especially the first 3 weeks. You'll definitely see a larger impact on these lists, and then who knows what will happen after that. I really hope that something kind of breaks out in the Star City Games circuit or something like that.
Jordan's breaking out right now.
Yeah, we do have a...
Only I've been smoking weed for the past 8 hours. I was beat red, my beard's actually like starting to itch. Like,
he might be turning into a cat. But we do have a GP coming up, GP Louisville, that's also standard. So that'll be interesting to see how that is impacted by this as well.
I really feel about the mono blue deck, and I was saying this the other night, that it's a deck that's hard to play.
Mm-hmm.
Opening hands are very hard to evaluate because you have such like underpowered creatures.
Right.
So I do feel like a lot of the people that'll pick it up, Jordan.
I won't play this deck, by the way.
it's a tough deck to play. Like, I'm not saying that from a condescending viewpoint. Like, I wouldn't be comfortable just picking this deck.
No, not at all.
Because I would feel like I would pick up the deck and go, I feel like this deck doesn't do enough.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it obviously does because it won a Pro Tour.
Yeah, it's like, second place of a Pro Tour.
A lot of people will not know how to sequence correctly and not know how to play correctly with this deck.
Or if you're John Beagle, you'll miss your Cloud and Raptor evolve triggers. So no big deal.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we'll go ahead and we'll wrap it up here. But we haven't actually been very good at being you know, kind of feeding into our social media outlets. But we do have a Twitter. It's at, you know, at your Instep, as redundant as that is.
It wasn't clever when I made it.
No, sorry about that, guys. Well, maybe we'll make a new one, but probably not. And we also have a Facebook page, and you can actually just search Facebook for at your Instep. It'll come right up. So please, you know, follow us on Twitter, you know, like our Facebook page. We definitely want to connect with our fans, so if you haven't done that yet, please do so. Also, we do have our own personal Twitters. They're down in the show notes. Mine is at Morgue War Marshal.
Get it?
Yeah, it's good. It's good, right? Jordan?
My Twitter is at Armdraman. I'm not even going to try to spell it. Just look below in the show notes.
Yeah.
You'll find links to just political ramblings and Magic the Gathering related stuff.
Yeah.
As well as StarCraft stuff.
And Mike, if you...
I'm at big_tears because I bitch a lot.
That's true. That's his his lovely, lovely nickname. So, yeah, again, you know, please, guys, you know, we also do have email as well. So it's atyourendstep@gmail.com. And guys, do you have anything else you want to add to the podcast?
I want to throw out, too, like, we are part of what is Team Comic Town.
Team Comic Town.
And, like, myself, like, my shirt says Big Tears on the back. So if you listen to this and then you see me, like, punting in an event, feel free to come up and laugh at me.
Yeah, most certainly. Yeah, please do so.
Yeah, no, Mike, do you want to talk about the article? I know we already did, but that's all legit, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, if you're legit MTG, I've posted an article in the last few weeks. Under Mike, you know, Keckney is the last name. Take a look. And you can also link to our Twitter for the podcast through there because, you know, why not have all that interconnectivity?
Exactly.
Oh, and we just go to YouTube, right?
Yeah. We haven't done anything with it yet. We're looking at, we want to kind of make a big splash with our first video that we do here.
Yeah.
But we are looking to also possibly doing recordings, like putting them on YouTube as well.
Right. So just another avenue for you guys to enjoy the podcast. I think that's probably just YouTube/@yourendstep, probably.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
So YouTube.com/@yourendstep.
I mean, there's nothing there besides like our banner picture. But hey,
yeah.
Hey, you want to see the banner picture?
We're gonna get started on that here soon as well. This has been another episode of At Your Instep. Thanks again for downloading and listening, and we'll catch you next week.
You may go to your turn.
We haven't done that in so long, and you just got to bring it up, you bastard.